Welcome to another edition of the Inside Scoop. My name is Neil Crawford. I'm your host and also the founder of Anytime Soccer Training. If you're not familiar with the Inside Scoop, it's a podcast dedicated to helping parents learn about the soccer pathways that would be available to their child if they lived in another city around the world. And this show is brought to you by Anytime Soccer Training. Anytime Soccer Training is the only training program with well over 5,000 training videos that cover all the major individual skill areas. So check out anytime-soccer.com to learn more about the program. And now let's get on to the show. I am trying my best to clear my inbox and get to as many emails as I can to help our users and listeners. So this is, again, a show where I'm speaking directly to a user who has sent me a lovely email. So we're going to celebrate success. I'm reading the email real time, guys. So hopefully I can do this in one take, and I'll try to answer the question and then extend myself to answer any more questions as they come in. So here's the email. Hi, Neil. I hope all is well. I just wanted to take a moment and thank you for creating such a wonderful follow along program. Thank you. Don't get enough thanks. And I really, really appreciate that. It's been 5 months and our son has grown so much as a player. It is amazing that consistent ball control practice, it's amazing what consistent ball control practice has done for his confidence and foot skills. On his competitive rep team, he has moved from one of the least foot skill players to one of the best. Growth has been tremendous, in parentheses. And, you know, let me just stop here to say, you know, I would love to take the credit for this, but, you know, I always tell my friends, it's not rocket science. If you go in the backyard or you go in the garage and do 200 push-ups and 200 sit-ups every day, you're going to be one of the strongest people that you know, right? And so what we have tried to do is create a program where it's not overwhelming for the player and for the child. I will say, take some credit in saying it's been a 4-year journey and it's really, really hard. But I'm so happy that people are getting on board and seeing what I saw. I stumbled across with my sons, you know, and I tell everybody when they sign up, if you do this consistently for 3 months, people will ask you who your child's trainer is, because I just know. All right. So it's amazing what simple toe taps, TikToks, and consistent practice daily can do. Exactly. See, we talk a lot about it's something going on with the brain, the neuroplasticity, the strengthening of those neurons or the tissue surrounding those neurons. It's just something about it that even if you're doing what most people consider to be basic moves, you just get technical and you start doing things because you remember this is in conjunction to what you're doing with the team. You start doing things that you thought were just not possible 3 or 4 months ago. So I appreciate that. So here's the question. I noticed that he is much more confident with his right foot and doing moves towards his right. We have been practicing the weak foot / left foot program. So there's a specific program that focuses on your weak foot. And as a matter of fact, guys, I need to add some more videos to that. It's been a couple of years, but there's a specific program that you do drills only with your non-dominant foot inside of Anytime Soccer Training. And I've noticed that he is pretty good with using his left foot and making moves towards his left. However, at team practices and festival games, he does not use his left foot because he says he just doesn't have as much confidence with it mentally. I assume just keep working each day with his left foot and hopefully he just naturally feels more confident, more and more comfortable with it. Eventually a breakthrough will happen. So I don't have an easy answer for you because number one, every child is different and what your child is seeing on that field is going to be different. The way defenders play your child is going to be different. In other words, when they're really young, because I think your child is pretty young, defenders don't even necessarily pick up on the fact that, oh, he's only going to go to his right foot. So you already know the answer. If you stick with it, they will become two-footed. Make sure you do a heavy dose of the aerial control program as well, because that's going to isolate that foot as well. Now, I keep going back to the same thing, and you guys gonna get tired of hearing it. When you say, you know, I notice he's pretty good using his left foot, I'm very hesitant to draw this type of conclusion, whether he's good or bad. I'm very hesitant to draw this type of conclusion, because if you conclude that, then there must be something else going wrong, right, in the games. If he's good with his left foot, and if that's the conclusion, and he's not performing it in the games, that reduces the possible reasons that he's not using his left foot. So I'm very hesitant to conclude that, especially at these younger ages, because you got to remember, with my older son, he's been 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So he's been using anytime since he was 9. So that's 5 years. And then I started training him at 6. So, you know, before you conclude that, just make sure that they put in all those hours and hours and hours of time. It's perfectly natural for children to, or anyone to, favor their non-dominant foot. It's just the way it is. But I'm so hesitant to throw the confidence word out there again until we know for a fact 100% that the skill, or a skill deficit, is not the reason that the child is not doing this or that. So I gave this tip, I don't know, about 3 years ago, and I'll rehash it. So I am not a big fan of, I'm a reformed soccer parent, so I don't really talk to my kids like during games or practice. You know, I just don't. I'm very silent. The exception to that rule, however, is the non-dominant foot. Okay. Now, my older one, he's done. I'm not talking to him about anything. He's 14. But my younger one, because he's left footed and I'm working with him to use his right foot, I get them to agree to, I get them to make this agreement. And then we agree that I can remind them. And so the agreement is pretty simple. When you're in these team training environments, and they always do these little warm-ups, they always do this little this and this little dribbling thing here and this little passing thing there. When you're in those team environments and you have a choice, because normally the coaches don't demand that you use a certain foot, unless they're working on a very specific drill that requires you to do that. But 9 times out of 10, they don't demand it. So if you're given a choice, I want you to use your non-dominant foot. And my signal to you is, because I don't want to be yelling at you across the field and all that kind of stuff, is if you see me tap my thigh, right? If I tap my thigh, that's a reminder to you that you have to try to use your non-dominant foot when given the choice in that first couple minutes of practice. And then once practice really gets into it and y'all doing y'all thing, I ain't gonna bother you anymore. But those first few minutes when they're doing a little passing, they're doing juggling, and they're doing this, they're doing that, I want you using your non-dominant foot. And if you don't remember, I'm gonna call your name discreetly and tap my thigh, and you know what to do. Now, my younger son, they are moving him to the 6, and this doesn't matter as much, but it does matter in the sense that he's becoming more and more technical. And as you become more and more technical and you don't lose the ball, a lot of times they move you to the midfield, even from the wing. So he also knows that when I see him, when I tap my thigh, I'm also telling him to look to the left side of the field as well, because kids especially tend to not only use their dominant foot exclusively or the vast majority of the time, but they also tend to only pass the ball to their dominant side. But as a midfielder, you have to be very good at switching the field and just seeing where moving the ball, where the space is, irrespective of which foot it is. And the faster you can do that, the higher esteem you will be held by your coach, even though they don't typically think about it in these terms. And so if he sees me tap my thigh, that is also telling him, hey man, you got to get the ball to the non-dominant foot. In his case, it's the right foot. So yes, keep doing the program. You're going to be doing this unopposed technical stuff. One thing we're going to add to the program, that now that my sons are doing videos, I'm going to add a semi-opposed dri add semi-opposed dribbling drills, which force, not force, sorry, that ask the child to dribble down a line or change direction or do something with their non-dominant foot while somebody else is giving them pressure. I used to do that a lot with my older son back in the day, and I really want to add that to the program. But guess what? You ain't got to wait on me. Go out in the backyard, dribble down the line, ask them to stop, start, dribble as fast as you can, or use the line cone dribbling drills, right? The first line cone dribbling drills in the program ask you to speed dribble. So use those as your timer in the video, but you just offer passive resistance. Another thing too is, again, I think there's at the younger ages, that sort of confidence is typically tied to skill level and those repetitions. So keep doing what you're doing. I think they will grow out of it. But another thing is them understanding the game too, and that comes with time. So with my sons, and I think I told mentioned this a few times, I have a simple algorithm. You receive the ball in the middle, the space is likely going to be wide. If you're wide and you receive the ball wide, the space is likely going to be in the middle. If you get down the pitch, getting the ball in the middle might look like a cross. You can always dribble and cut back inside, but just being aware of that most basic pattern. And then we add on to that, if you receive the ball from the right, most likely switching the field is where the space is. So you're getting the ball to the left. And if you're getting the ball to the left, most likely switching the field to the right is your best option. I don't do this with my children, but if you have a child that is inclined to respond positively to this, you can count the number of times, or tell them you want to count the number of times they switch the field. You want to count the number of times they make their first move to the with their non-dominant foot, because that's also important. Because you got to remember, it's not necessarily that you use your non-dominant foot be for the purpose, for the sake of using it, to show that you're two-footed, because it is your less dominant foot. So anytime there's an opportunity to use your dominant foot, even at the highest levels, you want to try to typically you try to use your non-dom your dominant foot. But you need to use that dominant foot to set up that, you need to use that non-dominant foot and go to the non-dominant foot's side in order to set up that dominant foot. And when that's not happening, that's also something you can work on. And you can also measure that. How many times do you use your non-dominant foot to set up that dominant foot? So, in conclusion, I don't want to be patronizing. You know your situation. I can only tell you about the hundreds of parents I deal with in my clinics over the years in some capacity. They're normally wrong when they evaluate the skill level of their kids, not because they're morons. And it's just, it's hard. It's hard to, unless you sit around looking at thousands of kids, it's hard to figure out exactly where your kid is skill wise, beyond the obvious stuff. If you got a kid dribbling 20 yards with their right foot because they can't go left, yeah, of course, but beyond the obvious. So I'm very, I'll put an asterisk by that anytime I read it or hear it. So that's number one. The next thing is just follow the process. Do the weak, no weak foot. Make sure you do a lot of the heavy dose of ball mastery. Make sure you do the wall work. Make sure you do the dribbling, all that stuff with both dominant and non-dominant feet. There are arguments that say, hey, you should spend a majority of time working with your dominant foot because that's what you use mostly in the games and stuff. I split the program up 50-50 just because why not? But also, because I know that they're going to use their dominant foot majority of time outside of any time soccer training, 50-50 gets it closer to that 70-30 percentage anyways. So just follow the plan there. And if you are inclined to do this and your child is responsive to this, and you don't stress them out, then you can explain those rules that I just mentioned. Number one is, when given the choice, especially at the beginning of practice, especially when y'all just running around doing all this stuff, I want you using your non-dominant foot. And if you don't remember, I'm going to tap my finger. Now, in my old age, I've gotten a little bit softer. But when my older son was younger, that was the one that I told him I will pull rank on that one, because that was how important it was. I don't do that with my children anymore, but that was like part of the deal. Look, I don't want to see you using your right foot when I know y'all messing around for the first 5 minutes of practice. I want to see you using your left foot. And I tell the story that he used his left foot so much when he had a choice that the other kids and parents thought he was left-footed until he started playing games and with shoot, because they just not seen anybody intentionally use their non-dominant foot when given a choice. Now, so that's number one. The next thing is, so I said that about tapping your thigh. With my old younger son, because they move him to midfield, I do remind him to make sure he plays the ball on the, again, it's his right because he's left-footed. And so tapping my thigh also is an indicator to remember to do that, because quite frankly, the coaches just don't. They just don't do it. And I don't know why they don't do it, but they don't. And so I have to step in and make sure that you're playing it on both sides of the field. That's in accordance to the algorithm that we talked about. You get the ball in the middle, you move it wide, you get the ball wide, you move it to the middle. If all that fails, the space behind you. And if you get the ball from the right, more than likely the space is switching the field to the left and vice versa. And so you have to be two-footed by default to be able to do that. And then you can also say, hey, we want to count the number of times you set up your dominant foot. We want to count the number of times you set up your dominant foot by using your non-dominant foot. Let's try to get three this game and see what happens. And so that's another thing you could do. But again, my biggest thing is follow the process. A lot of this stuff works itself out, but it does need to be, but they do need a soccer IQ that helps them understand why they're doing it as well. So that's not a really succinct or definite answer, just having a conversation. You can shoot me back what has been working, what you think has been working for you, what's not working for you. You can circle back with me and see if that's ha working. But you know, they're professionals. I watch them every weekend in the Premier League. They cannot use their non-dominant foot. So you know, this is not an easy thing, and you can still be a great player if you are pretty dominant with the other foot. But if you're starting with a kid that's so young, definitely try to encourage them to use both feet, because that will make them even more effective in games and enjoy the game even more. Again, my name is Neil Crawford, founder of Anytime Soccer Training. Let's get better together.